This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. You know, it's all that stuff that we talk about. And we talk about some fun stuff, too. It's the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And right now, I got to bring my good friend Andrea Kay on with us. Andrea is a conservative radio TV host herself. Host of the Andrea Kay Show, which makes sense, because if you were the host of the Bill Martinez Show, people might get a little bit confused, you know, Andrea?
Well, yeah, we don't want to cause any confusion, especially the first week, the first few days after daylight savings time has kicked in. People are so tired this time of day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people are already confused right now. I mean, we don't even have 100 days of the presidency, and they're all going crazy. Things are being stolen, and, you know, felonies are being committed all in the name of justice and the American way of life, and Rachel Maddow is in the fetal position with her thumb in her mouth, and, you know, and all the other, you know, all the other Democrats that are doing everything they can to work against the people's business. But, you know, and the disgusting thing about this, Andrew, we still pay them, you know, on vacation. They get this outstanding health care program and retirement program, and this is our money at work for us. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I somebody posed a question yesterday. Maybe the health care, this whole health care debate could be solved if the American people were put on the same health care plan that all these government hacks are on. How do we get in on that deal? What deal do they have, and how do we get in on it?
Yeah, interesting you should say that. You know, Scott and I were saying just the opposite, and that is that we need the government hacks to be on our program, then, you know, see how fast it gets fixed, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah, really. Hey, one of the things that you pulled up here, and I thought this was interesting, I mean, are we getting safe places in gymnasiums now? Now we gotta yank a weighing scale out of a university gymnasium because it triggers people's emotions? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, right. I don't understand. I mean, where else are you supposed to have a scale? I mean, I could understand if they had the scale sitting underneath the ice cream bar at the cafeteria at this college.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, because, you know, that's typically, you know, I put on the freshman 15 myself, okay? So, you know, it was a little tough for me in the South to pass on the fried food. Okay,
yes.
So to me, food is what a trigger is, mm-hmm. you know? And so I didn't go and demand that some, you know, that the candy bar machine be yanked out of the laundry room downstairs because every time I went to go do a load, I was faced with the Snickers and I needed to get the freshman 15 off. This is just, it's gone off the rails mentally.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Bill, I will tell you that there is such a thing as triggering. Mm-hmm. You know, there are traumatic things that can happen to trigger an alcoholic to have that desire to fall off the wagon. I mean, that's kind of a serious thing. But come on, that ain't what we're talking about here.
Yeah, we're taking it to extremes. And, you know, like one suggested, what do? We ban calculators because I'm flunking calculus?
You know, why didn't we think of this stuff when we were in school, right?
Andrea? Because somebody with reason would have come and smacked us alongside the head and said, you know, get focused, okay? Let's get real. But no, we embrace, you know, because we're so sensitive, you know, that we have to embrace this triggering concept. And we're, you know, what's being raised here and what we're giving way to are a bunch of wimps. I mean, how are they going to function in the real world if they're worried about a weight scale?
Well, yeah, and, you know, even deeper, that a bigger concern, a serious concern that I have about this is if you look at some of the comments made by the, quote, manager of health and wellness at this gym, mm-hmm. he says, you know, he says focusing on weight, you know, that can be a negative influence. There's other indicators of health. Well, you know, actually, if you ask any doctor, you know, a really indicator of bad health is being obese and carrying mm-hmm. too much weight. I mean, we've got an obesity epidemic around the world here in America.
Right.
And, you know, adult onset diabetes is killing people.
Right.
It is an indicator. And, you know, that's one of the issues that we've got. They also said that this is also about You know, we need to be, you know, follow in keeping with current fitness and social trends.
Exactly.
Well, I'm really concerned with the social trend of obesity.
Okay, we got to go to a quick break. Andrea Kay is with us. We got more from Andrea right after this. Stay with us, America. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey,
Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Hey, it's the way we roll. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour conversation with the one and only Andrea Kay continues. Hey, I hope I didn't trigger anything by that commercial. You know, we've got to do commercials every once in a while, but I'm growing in my trigger sensitivity. How's that?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I will tell you that I was triggered into eating a cookie with my coffee.
Okay. See, I knew I was doing something, so I apologize. Hey, you know, getting back to these scales and, you know, people being all sensitive about these scales, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, where else would you want a scale, but at a place where you're working out to reduce the weight? And so that's all part of measuring, because the last time we checked, whenever you have an objective, it has to be measurable, and you, or otherwise it's just a dream, and you're just wasting your time, and so go have another Twinkie. But, you know, the thing is that surprises me here is that these kids could even read a scale, because another study, Andrea, I don't know if you saw this, 4 in 5 students can't read a clock. So, if they can't read a clock, I mean, God only knows what that triggers, but, you know, so why is a scale in a gymnasium an issue?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe they would have an argument here since they can't read a scale, if the scale was, you know, automated and was saying stuff like, get off of me, you fat pig.
Yeah,
you
right,
know, maybe then
exactly.
I might understand if
well,
the
like,
scale was triggering.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Wii. You remember the Wii thing? Did you ever do that? They would do this little exercise. I think it was pretty neat the way that.
On your teeth.
Yeah, but then it would do a BMI, you know, deal. If you were overweight or something like that, it would go obese. So that triggered another donut, you know. But it's just. It's just crazy.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, so you know, those things, those Wii's are flying out the window for all these sensitive kids, you know, along with the scale.
Exactly. You know what? I'm so grateful that we didn't come up at a time in which there was all this oversensitivity. I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm glad we can laugh about it, but seriously, what are we, these people, you're right, these people are going to go into society and not be able to function.
But do you realize,
won't be anything on the shelves left in stores? You know, where do we go from here?
Well, Andrew, see, you and I can talk on our shows about this stuff, but we wouldn't be allowed on a campus. We would be barked down and attacked on a campus talking like this, because we're just so insensitive.
Right.
You know?
Now, you know, Rachel Maddow, though, she'd be welcomed on the campus, even though she's, you know, fostering, committing felonies, you know, leaking stuff and, you know, putting forth fake news. I mean, she's like a hero.
Yeah. And that's that, you know, we were talking about this with Jennifer Breeden earlier, Andrea, that if somebody has basically they got their hands on felonious evidence, I mean, you know, like paper, you know, like somebody's tax reports or whatever, on and on, leaking information. If you are in possession of that, isn't it like having stolen property? And if you're caught with stolen property, you're in trouble. I mean, even in the name of journalism, I think they have to look at this to say, wait a minute, there's just something that's incongruous about this. It doesn't make sense, you know?
Well, yeah, and you know, when are the leaks going to stop? You know, these are felonious, whether we're talking about IRS tax returns that, mm-hmm. you know, and of course now they're trying to change the narrative since it blew up in her face, like, you know, a right. cartoon that we used to watch on the Saturday. Now it's like, oh, Trump must have leaked this himself because, you know, he looks too good here. But whether
they're
we're
so
talking
desperate.
About that or whether we're talking about the intelligence leak, you know, we've got a deep state shadow government seeking to take down our president, and it's really concerning. And I think heads need to roll. I think real investigations, even if they have to bring all kinds of attorneys all from around the world to come in and bump out all these longtime hacks in the DOJ, they need to get to the bottom of it.
Well, and they were all upset because last Friday, you know, the president did what all presidents do. You serve at the president's behest. And in this particular case with Jeff Sessions, he's in charge. He's got the decoder ring and everything. And he tells everybody from the past administration, okay, we are now receiving your resignation. Adios. Mm-hmm. And everybody's up in arms about it. Well, come on, that's standard fare. You want to have your team in place. You don't want, you're not going to go out there and go on the field of play and have the opposing team on your side. Not looking out for your best interest. And that's real clear. This is what's happened, not to mention all the other stuff that you begin to suggest. As much as they're trying to suggest Trump's doing this, then you start chasing the Putin boogeyman and the Obama, you know, mm-hmm. boogeyman. And, you know, it's boogeymen are abounding here. And meanwhile,
right.
you got real problems in this country, like people want jobs and they want to get this health care situation repealed and replaced. And, you know, oh, yeah, national security. We're still, you know, we still have people that have overseas that have declared war on America. And we're still trying to figure out what to do about that. And we've been in an undeclared war now for what, a decade and a half?
Yeah, and you know, and we're right now, you know, most people are talking about the left is still trying to put forth today that, you know, Trump did something nefarious and there's something really scary going on with his money and his taxes. The other half of the people are laughing at Maddow, but nobody's really talking about how many more boots we have on the ground. We've actually gone into Syria. We
right.
actually have boots on the ground in Syria, a situation that's gone really bad because mm-hmm. of Obama and his red line that he ignored.
Right.
And nobody's really talking about that.
And they're not in support positions anymore. They're, you know, they ask the general about that. He goes, well, you know, that's just what we tell the public, basically. I mean, you could tell
right.
he was skirting that issue. Hey, we got several more things I want to talk about. You know, people are up and up going absolutely ballistic over this Snoop Dogg video. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. My son says, well, he's a smart guy, you know, he's getting attention. I go, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I just totally disagree with it. I think it's idiotic, but, you know, that's just me.
I think it's not only idiotic, I think it's dangerous. And I mean, you know, I used to be a huge Snoop fan. I mean, he put out, I'm known for my 90s, I love 90s Throw by Jam. G-Fang is one of my all-time favorite songs. But I mean, you know, Snoop, what he's trying to do is resurrect his career. When your career has gone so bad as a rap artist that you were doing a cooking show with Martha Stewart, called Potluck Dinner Party, maybe. This is about trying to make Snoop's career great again, and it is a hashtag fail, because I think that I don't know what the laws are particularly. I'm not a comma JD, but we're not supposed to be threatening a president or inciting violence against a president.
No.
And his song, Bad, Bad, Not Good, really describes his career and, you know, this video here, and it's deadly serious, the fact that he showed in a video the assassination of President Trump. And, you know, I think that all the force of the law should come down on Snoop.
Well, the FBI is checking him out, and, they, you know, between him and Madonna, you know, the two knuckleheads here, you know, that are trying to revive their careers. You're exactly right. Now, another warning came down from the State Department. You know, we got spring break coming up. I experienced spring break on the East. On the West, you know, I grew up here, so it wasn't, you know, you get the rhythm of it and the whole deal. In the East, let me tell you, the roads get blocked up on, you know, on that Florida corridor. You cannot find a place to get a hotel. It is crazy for spring break. But here, the U.S. Department is saying, is warning college students against traveling to Mexico this spring break. I don't know.
Well, I think college students should stay home because I think it's scary and dangerous wherever they go into this spring break. It's just gotten out of control.
Well, also, the other thing, too, in closing, have you heard about Puppet Up? We got about 20 seconds. This is Henson Studios. Jim Henson's son has been doing, I guess, for about the last 10 years. Who would have thought? Miss Piggy's gotten really blue, and they're doing puppet shows there that are rather risque, R-rated, and rather interesting. And, you know, to your point, with all the timely evidence and information, plenty of cannon fodder here to be puppeted up. Andrea Kay on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Andrea.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in. Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. It is I, Bill Martinez, or it's me, however way you want to say it. Good to have you along with us as we come to you fresh every day, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and good fun here. I always appreciate my good friend Andrea Kay checking in so we can take a look at some of the cultural events. But on a serious side here, you know, for our kids, It is worrisome because I think, you know, this is the next generation of, you know, leaders that are embarking in this country to, you know, handle on the reins. And, you know, and you heard the conversation with Nick Pitts, a millennial leader, and it's quite encouraging to hear his articulation, understanding of what's going on. And, you know, I look at, you know, hear all the money that they're investing, you know, a lot of these kids going to college and, you know, what to do. And it's like, and getting lost in some of this stuff that really, it's not about life. I mean, you know, real life, you don't have safe places. And I got to imagine when these kids come home for Thanksgiving dinner and they start talking about safe places and triggering events, you know, oh, can't have dark meat, you know, dark meat and turkey. It triggers things. You know, it's like everything's a triggering mechanism. And, you know, what happened to self-responsibility? You know, I guess if you just let go of yourself and you want to be, you know, absolutely lawless, like my good friend Phil Hotzenpiller, who's written a new book, is going to be coming out soon on lawlessness. It's pretty insane how this has been not only, you know, discussed, but accepted. It's like an acceptance of, you know, bad behavior. All in the name of lawlessness, that it's okay that, you know, somehow it evens out the score in their own minds. And you go, well, what a waste. What a waste of life and talent that you would get caught up in this kind of, you know, this kind of stinking thinking that Zig Ziglar would call, because it's, you know, after everything is all said and done, are you better off as a result of, you know, all these trigger mechanisms and these safe places? Or are you just going to constantly be going about your day looking for these potential offensive landmines that are going to trigger some misbehavior in you, and that you don't have self-responsibility? You know, this is what our Constitution is all about and what our founding fathers had put into place. You know, they look back over the history of mankind and said, hey, look, you know, self-responsibility, self-rule is the optimum thing. That's the best thing. And this is what our U.S. Constitution is all about. Right now, we're fortunate to have Nika Kabiri with us. She is a law and society analyst. I mean, Nika is a social scientist. I mean, which, you know, we're talking about right now. You know, I don't know that you could ask for a more richer culture to study, you know, society and to look at, you know, the foibles of our humanity. Nika Kabiri, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, how much fun for you? I mean, right now, I mean, you're a social scientist, an observer of humanity. You know, this must be, you know, you look over the landscape of our country right now and what is going on and you think, wow, what a job I have.
Oh, I know. And, you know, aren't we all kind of social mm-hmm. observers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I get to do it for a living. I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, exactly. And we're so goofy right now. I mean, with all this stuff that's happening. And I want to talk to you about, you know, this time of year. You know, we always hear that springtime, time for love, and people are a little bit, you know, lighter on their feet. They've got a bounce. They're in love and all this. But like anything, you know, where you got love, you also have kind of hate entering into the picture. And, you know, and tied into that, yep. Marriage, and you got divorce coming into play. What is going on?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We are in this really interesting state of change in our society where we don't get married for the reasons we used to anymore. It's not, you know, the case that we get married because everybody else is doing it or because we think we have to. We're getting married because we really want to share our lives with someone we love. But more than that, we really are, more people are saying that they're comfortable being alone and happy than being in a relationship and unhappy. So this idea of the relationship being, you know, to protect it at all costs is kind of not so much the case anymore. People are really, really curious about, you know, what life can bring them and how happiness can, what that can mean for them, whether they're married or not.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this new study from Avvo that was just released and examines how attitudes are changing about modern love. Pretty interesting stuff here, Nika.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways in which attitudes have really changed is around money, especially even with dating. We were finding from this study that it's not the case that most people think dating has to be expensive. And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of women that we surveyed didn't think that anybody, a guy, or that they had to spend a lot of money in order to make dating successful. It's really the more guys that are kind of hanging on to that idea that they have to wine and dine. They don't have to stress out about it as much as they probably think they do.
Yeah, but a lot of guys don't have the money because they're too busy playing video games than actually going out and working, you know. So you got to drop the video games if you want to keep her in the manner to which she might hope to become accustomed.
A little, yeah. That's where, that's where, you know, chemistry and having a lot in common come in.
Yes, yeah.
And just really engaging and communicating, yeah.
So money is certainly interesting change there, and I don't know, again, because of some of the social distractions that are taking place. Has the changing gender roles affected marriage expectations and satisfaction? I mean, right now, gosh, I mean, the gender confusion that is abounding in our culture today, I'm sure has to have an effect.
Yeah, you know, right now we're seeing, again, when it comes to money, we're seeing some changes. So, you know, it used to be the case that the guy would make the money, and the guy would make, because he made the money, he would make most of the big decisions around how money was spent. But these days, it seems that even the person in the relationship, whether it's a man or a woman, who isn't a primary breadwinner, and sometimes that is the man that who isn't the primary breadwinner, but they, for the most part, in almost all relationships, they have just as much say in how the money is spent as the other person does. So, you know, the voice of how of those, you know, big that you have in those big financial decisions, it's kind of shared by both people, and that didn't used to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in my life, in my lifetime, early on, marriage was so sacrosanct. You had to keep the family unit together, and it just seems that, you know, since we have no-fault divorce, you know, we've got, you know, and now it's so common to have the quote-unquote broken family experience, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, 7 out of 10 divorces, or 7 out of 10 divorced people that we interviewed said that their divorce was uncontested, which means it was probably not, you know, as drawn out and dragged out and complicated as a lot of divorces, the worst-case scenarios we hear about. Divorce is getting easier and easier to get.
Yeah. And so some might say, Nika, they had lousy attorneys. I mean, because...
Some might say that to you, or no attorney.
And you're an attorney. You're an attorney, so I'm not trying to insult you, but you know, this is, that sometimes well, you know they get paid for the fight. You know, they want to keep that fight going on. You know.
Hey, no insults taken here. yeah, and we have it here. You know, we talk to people who go through divorces all the time, and I've definitely talked to people who had horror stories. But you would be surprised. Most people, you know, they don't feel that way about their attorneys. A lot of people feel like, you know, they've had pretty decent divorce attorneys, and that, you know, that uncontested divorce, it was not because they had a bad attorney. And I think those are really the bad cases that we hear about.
Yeah, the War of the Roses and going through and extending. Yeah. It's like, okay, let's just rip the Band-Aid off, so to speak, I guess, and rather just suffer, you know, death by a million cuts, as they would say.
exactly.
Why is AVVO doing this kind of research project about relationships? I mean, it's interesting. I appreciate the information. It's good. It's good talk show kind of stuff. And plus, I get a chance to meet you, Nika. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, every day we help so many people going through family-related legal issues, divorce, prenup, family planning, child custody, all sorts of things. Mm. And in order to do that well, in order to really help them out, we really need to understand them as people and what they're going through. So we do this research every year to get at that. You know, we also offer legal services and, you know, we're a legal resource for business owners and, you know, renters and all sorts of people. We do research on a lot of different things as well, but this is the one study that's the juiciest that people
that's great.
Really like to sink their teeth into.
Well, we got 10 seconds left. Where can they go for more information?
It's avvo.com. That's avvo.com.
Well, there it is, Dr. Nika Kaviri. Nika, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are significantly more optimistic than their non-Hispanic peers about revenue and hiring in the year ahead. According to the Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight, 54% plan to hire in 2017, and 71% expect their revenue to increase, more than 20 percentage points higher than their non-Hispanic counterparts. The survey also reveals the critical role of family, with 63% of Hispanic entrepreneurs reporting that family members help run their business. Elizabeth Romero, Bank of America Small Business Executive.
Hispanic small businesses play a critical role in driving local economies and job growth. And the incredible optimism toward revenue and hiring shows great promise to continue this trend in 2017. Perhaps contributing to the higher optimism is a strong role that family plays, with close to half of Hispanic business owners reporting intentions to pass on their business to a loved one.
For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. Research thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It's the Ides of March, huh? It's also a dumbstruck day. I know you turn on the TV or you hear some of the crazy things that people are doing. And it's like, yeah, and this has been going on and on. You go, can somebody turn this thing off? And not to mention, in case if that's not enough to convince you, how about this one? Everything you think is wrong day. Everything you think is wrong. This is the day, I guess, because that's the way some people, I guess, like to roll. Well, good to have you with us. We got a real special treat for you. I got the director of Facing Darkness. This is a tremendous documentary, very powerful, about Dr. Kent Brantley. You might remember that name. He was the first American to contract the Ebola virus. And Arthur Roscoe, who is the film's director, is with us. He's written, directed, and produced dozens of videos, TV spots, and PSAs promoting the work of Samaritan's Purse around the world in 2008, 2009. You might remember a seven-part reality series about the Children's Heart Project, where he followed three children from Mongolia who came to the U.S. Incredible story. I mean, again, it was so heartening to understand and maybe put into perspective the significance of America, the talents, the gifts, the ideas that we have here in this country that we afford to other countries. Because without America, where were these three children? What was the fate of these three children that that Arthur had presented to us? A very touching film. And I'll tell you, I couldn't help but be, you know, proud to be an American, to be an answer in this case for these three Mongolia children. But how many other thousands and thousands upon thousands of people look to the United States as that light on a shining hill? Let's bring Arthur on right now. Arthur Roscoe, good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you? Arthur, are you there? Did we lose you? We lost him. Okay, maybe it was He started thinking the wrong things all of a sudden. Suddenly, maybe I shouldn't have reminded Right. It is the Ides of March. Let me get out of here. As we're reconnecting with him, over the last 15 years, Arthur has produced work in more than 27 countries, including the Philippines after Typhoon Haiyan and Haiti following the destructive earthquake there of 2010. But we're going to be talking about this new movie, Facing Darkness. I said it's a documentary about Dr. Kent Brantley. He was the first American to contract the Ebola virus. And the movie Facing Darkness is going to be in theaters for one night only. This will be on Thursday, March the 30th. Arthur Rasko, I'm sorry for the disconnect here and the technical problems, but good to have you back. It gave me a chance to brag on you, and you didn't get a swelled head on it, okay?
Okay.
All right. But we were covering your background. I was just reminding everybody that Facing Darkness, this documentary, is going to be in theaters on the big screen, one night only, Thursday, March the 30th, right?
That's correct. That's correct. You bet.
Okay, let's talk about Dr. Kent Brantley. We've had an opportunity to discuss his background previously, and I appreciate getting your perspective as the director of this movie. Tell us about Dr. Brantley.
Dr. Brantley is a great a godly gentleman. You know what's interesting to note here is that, you know, Dr. Brantley, he went into medicine. He became a doctor in order to have a way to share the gospel with people. Mm. And so that's why he went into medicine to begin with. And then that led to doing foreign missions work and doing work abroad. That led him to Liberia in fall of 2013, way before Ebola was ever on the horizon for West Africa. And so, you know, maybe he heard about Ebola, you know, in a lecture in college sometime. But as he's there in Liberia and getting into the swing of things, then cases started to pop up in Guinea and Sierra Leone. And then it started to cross over into Liberia in 2014. And that's when the wheels fell off the wagon.
Well, you know, I want to delve a little bit deeper into Dr. Brantley. I mean, here he is. He goes through all the years, the commitment, the cost to become a medical doctor. And he could have stayed here in the United States. But the wiring, his wiring and his, I guess his spirituality called him to places that, you know, most doctors would say, or aspiring doctors would say, are you nuts? What are you doing this for? You know, and you're going to walk away from the comfort of the United States of America, and you're going to go and deal with these third world countries and their problems. What's going on here? You know what I'm saying?
Right. But that kind of care that, you know, in medical care, that we're so commonly used to, you know, here in the United States, that just doesn't exist in Liberia. And so he wanted to bring that to Liberia, and then also combine that with what he talks about in Facing Darkness about why and how he treats people. He treated, you know, his patients as if they were his mother, his father,
yes,
his brother,
exactly,
his sister, with compassion and love. And so then when Ebola hit, it was, you know, I just wanted, you know, love on these people. I want to, you know, treat them with compassionate, competent care. And I want to do this as if they are my family member. Mm. And so that kind of compassion, that's what, you know, fueled fueled his fire, so to speak, so that he, you know, he was willing, and the whole team working together, you know, they put on the suits and they were willing to engage with folks who had a very deadly virus.
You know, Arthur, did you find that with Dr. Brantley, I mean, you know, what I've read about him and discussed with others about him, his sense of humility seems to be reflective of, you know, the medical profession and all its confusion and misstatements and misrepresentation these days in our country as we talk about Obamacare and healthcare and that sort of thing. That some of the doctors are you know, they're somewhat maligned right now because of this open-air conversation. But what Dr. Brantley reflected is probably the heart and soul of most physicians that, you know, enter into the profession, not necessarily driven by money, but definitely driven by their care of humanity. And especially for Dr. Brantley, being a Christian, understanding that life is job one, and who he's dealing with. He's dealing with other souls who are made in the image of God. Boy, when you honor and you have a grasp of that kind of understanding, it really transcends so much. And this is why when I first said, you know, some people may have looked at him and said, what are you doing? You know, why are you going to third world countries to help people? But when you feel, you know, you've been gifted like he has, and, you know, he says, God, use me. And God says, well, how about over here? And he packs up and goes, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, and he's also working with, you know, there's all the, you know, there's other expatriate, you know, physicians working at that hospital, ELWA, that come from, you know, very successful, you know, practices in the U.S. But yet, you know, when you go and you serve in a place like Liberia or or if you go and serve in developing countries around the world, you really have the opportunity to get back to the heart of medicine, to get back to compassionate care for people. And so that's very appealing, you know, to just get back to the root of it all.
Well, the incalculable blessing that he must have experienced through this whole process, like you said, you know, being able to be involved with your first love of caring for people in a probably a pure sense, and who would have thought in a third world country you would enjoy that kind of benefit. We're talking more about Dr. Kent Brantley. We have Arthur Rasko, the director of the film Facing Darkness, and we've got more on that on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-beaties. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like OneTouch and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides.
ProPure's improved Pro-1G 2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Arthur Rasko, the director of the soon-to-be-released movie, Facing Darkness. I say soon-to-be-released. It's going to be released in theaters for one night only. This will be on Thursday, March the 30th. Facing Darkness, about the Ebola pandemic that swept across West Africa in the spring of 2014. Arthur, you know, this was the way things worked out with Samaritan's Purse. They were there in Liberia prior to the outbreak. Explain to our audience Samaritan's Purse.
Yes. So Samaritan's Purse is an international, Christian international relief agency. We work all over the world in crisis situations, in famine, in disaster situations. We're in northern Iraq right now with an emergency field hospital. So we are literally, you know, we're all over the world, you know, in South Sudan as well. And so in Liberia, we had been in Liberia since about 2003, 2004, you know, doing post-Civil War recovery projects, you know, helping people get back on their feet after years of strife and war there in that country. And then when Ebola hit in 2014, Samaritan's Purse, you know, the team on the ground there, a team of about 200 to 300 people, we switched our gears and we went immediately into public education, public awareness about Ebola, what it was, how it was spread, because there was so much fear, there was so much misunderstanding there in the country about this disease, and so we tried desperately to get ahead of it, but then the cases kept coming and they kept on spreading, and then that's when Doctors Without Borders, who were handling clinical cases of Ebola in Guinea and Sierra Leone, they looked to us and said, "Hey, listen, you have doctors in the country, you have medical expertise, you have a decade of experience here in this country. Can you help us out and start treating Ebola patients there in Liberia?" And so together with another missionary organization named SIM, we said, yes, we'll start treating patients. And then that's when Dr. Kent Brantley became the medical director of those Ebola efforts.
Now, Franklin Graham, of course, the founder of Samaritan's Purse, in our conversation with him months ago, he could see on the horizon the threat of Ebola. And as this was coming into Liberia, as you say, a country and an area that you had a network already established, you had relationships there. So it was I mean, God had you there for a purpose, and when it was most needed, you brought a lot of clarity and understanding because you were already ahead of the culture. I mean, you knew how people were reacting. I know one of the big problems that Dr. Brantley had mentioned was in trying to get control of this disease. It was very difficult because of some cultural issues of the Liberians, right?
Right, right. There was so much misunderstanding, and people were, you know, they were denying that Ebola was even real. They had misconceptions about, you know, if you went to the hospital, then you would, you would most certainly die there. Mm-hmm. So there was, and I think, you know, so much of this was just driven by fear. And mm-hmm. so, and because of that fear, you know, so many people died, and, mm-hmm. and they didn't get, you know, medical care. They didn't go to, you know, get professional care quick enough, and they didn't get ahead of it. And so, so with you know, humbly, and with getting training by the best people in the world, you know, with Doctors Without Borders, you know, Franklin Graham, you know, said, okay, we're going to engage in this. And then, you know, as he says, you know, Ebola hit us like a tidal wave.
Yeah.
And so we were certainly put to the test. And then, you know, we were thrown into a tailspin when our doctor, Dr. Kent Brantley, became infected with the disease, and then as well as an SIM missionary, Nancy Reipel, also became infected there in late July 2014.
Well, as you mentioned, in terms of, you know, the lack of understanding and education of this deal, the underestimation of its, you know, of its threat to life, and the way it spread like a tidal wave, this all contributed to the aggressiveness of this disease spreading, and that resulted, what, in over 11,000 people dying?
Right, right. Between you know, the three countries, you know, in Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, the disease claimed more than 11,000 lives and infected more than 28,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, you know, it's hard for us to wrap our you know, our minds around that. But when I was covering this story and I was on the ground in Liberia, they said to me, Arthur, you have to meet you should meet a Liberian gentleman. His name is Joseph. Mm-hmm. And he lives up in the northern border of Liberia, and he lost 17 family members to the disease.
Mm.
Several brothers, his mom, his two aunts. I mean, and just down the line, because what Ebola did was it took advantage and it preyed upon people's love for one another.
Yes.
Right? When we get sick, right? Or when a family member gets sick, what do? We stop, we take care of them, we do what we can to, clean up after them,
you know, offer them
whatever.
Any kind of comfort, you know, and of course you have touching, you know, which
exactly.
is a very familiar expression of comfort. And of course, touching a diseased Ebola patient now spreads to you unknowingly.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then multiply that time, you know, one after another, after another, after another. And that's how you get a pandemic like Ebola.
What did Joseph say, having lost 17 members of his family? His heart must have been just so broken.
He says it's pain over pain, pain over pain. And he just, you know, just has this constant, you know, ache. Now he's doing well. I'm a friend with him. I communicate with him almost, you know, every other day.
Uh-huh.
Just encouraging him along the way. And then when I was interviewing him, I said, Joseph, you've been through so much. What gives you hope in all this? He says, well, when I look at the children of my late family members who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at my nieces and nephews and cousins, they give me hope.
Wow.
And he says, I'm now caring for them. And I said, well, how many you're caring for these children? How many children? He says, 16. So he now has 16 children under his roof that he's taking care of, that he's responsible for after this Ebola outbreak. You know, these, you know, like I said, these nieces and nephews and cousins that he's looking after, you know, ranging from anywhere from 3 years old on up to 10, 12, 13 years old. And he says, they give me hope because they're going to grow up to be people one day. And I love them and they are part of my family.
Well, I'll tell you, Joseph's experience puts our own lives in perspective, doesn't it, Arthur? I mean, you know, what you may perceive as having a rough day, and you hear the story of Joseph, and it's almost reminiscent of what Helen Keller said, that she used to complain about not having a new pair of shoes until she saw somebody with no feet.
Mm-hmm. You know, but what we see is, and what I want people to walk away with in this film is that, you know, the same God that got us through Ebola, the same God that got us through providing for a miraculous medical treatment and evacuation for Dr. Kent Brantley and Nancy Reiffel, the same God that got us through Ebola
mm-hmm.
can get us through whatever challenges that we're facing in our lives. You know, those walls, you know, we're all facing something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The film is called
right.
Facing Darkness, and it's about facing challenges. It's about facing difficulties, and yet we all face these. And so this is just an illustration of sorts of seeing a story of how people face these challenges head on, and what and how God gave them the strength to get through these challenges. And my prayer is that people will see that choosing compassion, choosing love, you know, over fear, and that giving us a why, that can give us the courage mm-hmm. to get through whatever challenges that we might be facing in our lives.
Well, what an excellent opportunity to be able to, share this story, because it is so profound. There are so many takeaways, you know, from these individual stories that are brought out in Facing Darkness. You can go to facingdarknessmovie.com for more information. Again, we remind you that it'll be airing one night only, okay, on the big screen. This will be on March the 30th in theaters for one night only. Arthur, again, I cannot thank you enough. Samaritan's Purse, Doctors Without Borders, all those that it came together to respect life. What is it after Ebola now for Liberia and the countries that were affected by this pandemic? We got about 20 seconds left here. Go ahead.
You know, the story isn't over. The story mm-hmm. isn't over. Samaritan's Purse is still on the ground. We're still doing recovery, post-Ebola recovery projects, and there's still more work to be done.
Well, there it is. Arthur Rasko, the director of the film Facing Darkness, as I said, one night only, Thursday, March 30th. We'll see you at the big screen there, okay? And check it out.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both notice that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this